You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. On today's program, we're talking about health literacy. How well do you understand health information so that you can use it? Our guests are Dr. Iris Feinberg and Jennifer Harris. You can join the conversation with your questions and your experiences now about health literacy, receiving health information, and using it well in your life. 404-880-9255. We are also on Twitter at CCRTD. I'm Paula Gwen Grant, and I'm glad that we're talking about health literacy. You brought up a wonderful point, Jennifer, about language. You know, when I go inside the grocery store, everything's in English and Spanish. When I look up in the aisles to read the number, which aisle has what stuff, it's in English and Spanish. Tell me how we can tackle health information and receiving health information when you do not speak English as your first language, or perhaps in your culture, this same info we're handing out might mean something else.
I like to speak to the provider side of things. Mm-hmm. I think as far as the doctors or the pharmacists or just organizations are concerned, we can be more sensitive to cultural needs as far as language, beliefs and their values, and not making people feel like they're inadequate for their particular beliefs.
Yes.
And we have a lot of guidance on that on our CDC website. There's our whole cultural and communication section, and it's at www.cdc.gov that providers and organizations can go to get that information.
Do you speak a different language? Have you said to yourself, wow, this is great, but it's in English and I'm not sure if I'm translating or understanding this correctly? Call us with your experience. We'd love to learn from you now. 404-880-9255 for your questions, your experiences in receiving health information and using it. Maybe you've had the cancer scare. Maybe you have worked through your cancer and you're a survivor. How was it when you were going to your medical appointments, your treatment? Your different treatments. Did you understand it? Did you feel it was given to you in a way you could understand it? Call us and tell us about it at 404-880-9255 right now. So Dr. Feinberg, dealing with different languages and cultures, and I would say it's not just us patients. Sometimes it's the doctor. We'll have a doctor that has a very thick accent from a different country. And, you know, even if asked to repeat, you don't necessarily understand.
Right. And you're in a situation where you need to understand,
yes.
Right? It's not like you're at the grocery store and you can go buy a different bag of something.
Mm-hmm.
There are many people that surround a doctor in a doctor's office, right? It's not just the doctor. There are nurses.
Yes.
There are medical assistants. There are people who work at the front office. There are all kinds of other mm-hmm. people that work there, lab techs. If you don't understand what the doctor said to you, find somebody that you can talk to, who can explain to you, who can read the doctor's note, who knows the doctor's language or, you know, the accent, and they're more comfortable in understanding him or her. And find one of those other people and have them be your resource and have them help you advocate for getting the information that you need to understand to take care of yourself.
So we're not being offensive. We just want to understand, and it's okay to ask.
Not in the least, and it is absolutely okay to ask. It should be required of you to ask so that you leave that doctor's office or the hospital or wherever you are, or you're, you know, at the library and you're reading some health information online and you don't understand something, go ask the librarian.
Mm-hmm.
People want to help. This is a service industry, right?
Yes. Yes, very much so. Very much so. Jennifer?
I'll say, like I tell my family members, there's no level of embarrassment that is worth the risk of your help. Ask the question. Ask it two or three times if you still mm-hmm. don't understand.
That is such a good and empowering point, because a lot of times we don't want to offend, but even if repeated, we're not catching the information. Also, there's misinterpretation with cultures. You know, there was a Spanish family who went to a pediatrician, and, you know, they got the they went and got the prescription filled for the child, and it said give 1 teaspoon of the medicine. They didn't understand. They were giving the child some tea instead of the prescription. But you see how that could happen. A teaspoon, they interpreted that incorrectly, Dr. Feinberg.
So another very common misinterpretation for Spanish language speakers mm-hmm. is the word once. take once a day, O-N-C-E.
Oh.
If you're a Spanish speaker, O-N-C-E is once. It's
which is
11.
11.
And so patients have been known to take 11 pills or to take a pill every hour because they thought it said to take 11.
Wow.
So if you are, if you have questions about your prescription, if you have questions about things that are written, if you're at the pharmacy, go talk to the pharmacist, go talk to the pharmacy tech, because they are also there to help make sure that you understand what to do with your medications when you get home.
Jennifer Harris, you at the CDC have the ambassador, as you mentioned, and what are some other things you do to help make sure that these misunderstandings are not frequent?
Well, I want directly related to that, I was going to say that we are really pushing on using graphics, especially when it comes to explaining different things with that has to do with your health.
So if pictures.
That, yeah.
Yes.
Pictures, graphics, and infographics, we call them, that actually show you the actions you should be taking for that health behavior. If in that situation there was a teaspoon, instead of interpreting it as tea, maybe they could have put a actual cup with the teaspoon line on it, showing them that that put. And actually, pharmaceutical companies are getting a little bit better with that and using visuals on the side of their products to show where the numeracy, or I'm sorry, the numbers lie, because we know numeracy is also a big problem.
It really is.
So using visuals definitely help combat that.
And I think, you know, if the restaurants can do it, it would be good for our pharmacies and our doctors to do it too. A picture menu for those that have challenges. It would be great in receiving your health information too. Are you using health information in a good way when you receive it? Do you even understand it? Do you feel you're getting all the information? Or have you had a good experience in receiving health information? You feel your doctor is on top of it. We want to hear from you now at 404-880-9255. We are also on Twitter at CCRTD, talking about health literacy and using health information. Dr. Feinberg, this is something, you know, we have to also face as a culture with the number of people we serve in any given city. There are people, as you mentioned earlier, who have low literacy rates, even in English. They're challenged with understanding in that plain speak you were talking about, Jennifer Harris. They don't understand it. You mentioned talking to others. If you are home and you don't have that access, any tips on how you can better understand?
So I want to just share with you some fairly alarming statistics that 1 in 6 Americans reads at an elementary school level, despite having maybe having a high school diploma. 1 in 3 United States adults do math at an elementary level. So you never know who it's going to be that may have struggles understanding what 1 teaspoon or what 1/4 of a teaspoon or 1/2 a pill might be. So there are a lot of folks who have low literacy skills who may also have low access, right? They don't have a CVS on every corner. They don't have a Minute Clinic. They don't have a, you know, a community health center nearby. I think that well, what we know from research is that people really rely on their friends and family when they have health questions.
That's
true. That is the number one health information source. It tops the internet. It tops books. It tops health professionals.
Friends and family.
So reach out to somebody and ask them to help you understand or share your question. And if somebody is able to have a social relationship, right, like a family or a friend, family member or a friend, then maybe they can take you to the pharmacy where you can ask the pharmacist your question.
That's wonderful. That is such a good point, Jennifer Harris.
And it's also worth noting that it doesn't matter the degree level you may have or the education level you may have, you can still have low health literacy. It's almost like saying there's a mom with a high school education, but she knows front and back how to give her diabetes medication, how to give any medication that the doctors give. She knows how to give to her child, where there may be someone with a postdoctorate degree that is just entering in this type of environment with diabetes, and they know nothing about diabetes.
And certainly with cancer, we talk here about cancer on a regular basis, and there's so much in terms of direction, instruction, and care, we can get it mixed up. You know, so that's a great point. You talked about earlier your ambassadors at the CDC that are available. Can you tell us a little bit more if folks are interested in having people come out and we all get together as a community to understand health information, the CDC can help?
Yes, all you would do is send in a request, I'm sorry, at CDC info, and that can be found at www.cdc.gov, and that you would like to get in contact with the CDC ambassadors. And you can list the program that you may have or the health topic that you would like more information on or somebody to come out and help you all with.
That's a great, great thing. We're taking your questions, your experience about health information, receiving it, understanding it, and then using it. Health literacy is what that's called. 404-880-9255 for your health connection. 404-880-9255 on Twitter at CCRTD. What about our senior citizens? A lot of times, you know, they're older. Look, they weren't into the internet, you know, in their day and age. And, you know, sometimes the eyes aren't working so great. Sometimes the ears aren't working so great. Dr. Feinberg, how do you get around that challenge of serving our seniors?
It is a real challenge. We know from research that older adults have the lowest health literacy levels of any age group. So lower of adults, so people who are 16 to 74, let's say. And so they're starting off at a deficit with regard to their health literacy, right? And then you have the ravages of aging. You have your hearings going. You have starting to have some cognitive decline. You may not be able to see things so clearly. Again, I'm going to circle back to this idea of a social network, family members and friends. And as we age, it's really important to learn how to rely on others to help in areas where you may need help. So, for example, if you can't see really well and you have to take pills every day, have somebody help you put the pills into little baggies where you write in really big letters, Monday morning, Tuesday, take at lunch with food, right? So to help you adjust what you have to do in a way that you can then do it as independently as you can.
Yes, yes.
Right? And this, it's very hard to accept, right?
Well, it is, because you feel like you're dependent.
Right.
Has this been your experience? 404-880-9255, trying to get health information to your aging parent or helping your aging parent through processing health information so that they can feel better. We want to hear from you. 404-880-9255.
So another challenge that we have with caregivers is the health literacy level of the caregiver.
Oh, good point.
And the cultural background of the caregiver and the native language of the caregiver. Many people now have home health assistance, for example, if they are aging in place, and which means that they're aging in their own home.
Right, trying not to go to a nursing facility, but staying in their own home.
Correct. And so a home health kind of person comes in periodically. And that person may just help them with meals. They may
laundry,
help them. Right.
They, you know,
they may help them with daily living activities,
physical
eating.
Care.
They may do physical care. They may drive them to the doctor. They may sit with them during doctor appointments. So it's a whole nother segment of folks who we really need to start thinking about in the health literacy world. So how do we best support caregivers?
Yes.
We haven't quite figured that out yet
in
the research.
Well, we have. And many of us are caregivers for someone with cancer, aging parents. If this is your experience, we'd love for you to call in right now, 404-880-9255. We're talking about receiving health information and being able to use it as a cancer patient, as someone supporting someone with cancer and taking them through treatment. Or maybe you have the aging parent and you wish the health community would deliver information in a certain way. Please let us know what that is. I think it's important we share so we're all alert and we can do better. So 404-880-9255. Jennifer Harris at the CDC, no doubt you deal with this.
I wanted to tell everyone that there is a portion of our website that is dedicated strictly to older adults. And within that section, there is a caregiver section where you can find a lot of tip sheets, research studies if you're interested, but mostly tip sheets and steps that you can take to help better care for that individual you may be caring for. It may be an older adult, it may be a younger child that is disabled, or any disabled individual, but there are steps that you need to take to be more aware, to make them more aware, to help aid and guide them in making the correct steps.
Are you supporting someone who is going through any kind of health challenge and you're trying to help with that health information? And it can be tough. We'd love to hear your experience right now. We will take your questions for our experts at 404-880-9255 here on Your Health Connection, talking about health literacy and seniors. I mean, I see them, you know, and I try to help anytime I am just in line at the pharmacy. And there's a senior in front of me who's trying, and I see that look go over their face where, you know, they're telling them something, but they don't really understand what's going on. Dr. Feinberg, you talked about older Americans. That's our largest group that is having a challenge with health literacy.
Well, and as we move into the next 10 or 20 years, we know that we have we're going to have a very, very large portion of our population be older adults. The baby boomers are all aging
in. That's true.
Or aging out. And we also know that it's a very culturally diverse group of people and a group of people who have varying degrees of literacy skills, varying education levels. It's a challenge for the individuals, for sure. But I think that, and again, sort of thinking about the kinds of things the CDC does, it's a real challenge for the providers. How are the providers going to, you know, in an 8-hour day or a 10-hour day when they're seeing a million patients, remember sort of, I've got to shift my gears a little bit because I have a 75-year-old patient here. Then I have to shift my gears again because I have an Ethiopian patient coming in.
Right.
Then I have to shift my gears again. So, you know, it's really easy to kind of lay blame. But I think that that's not the answer. The answer is sort of a broader understanding of what does it really take to communicate between two people?
Exactly.
And how do you do that?
And knowing that it is two people.
And see, that's the thing. We want to feel like we're a part of our own care. You don't want to feel disempowered. You want to feel empowered. And so what you all are talking about as caregivers, as those who are family, we're support. Dr. Feinberg, you talked about that social network to help you through. It's so great. What are some other tips for those that are caring for aging parents, caring for someone else who are trying to work through health information coming at them? What are some tips to help them? I heard you say pictures, graphics, ask about it. If you can get those instructions with pictures, what else can we do as regular people?
I think finding a social support group for the caregiver is really, really important. They exist. The Alzheimer's Association, for example, has a number of social support groups. Reach out to others who may be doing the same thing as you, because you'll find out you're not the only one.
Which is important.
It's very important
because you feel like you're on an island, and that's never good. Right, Jennifer?
That's correct. And definitely getting the communities involved, I really think it's what's going to help this shift. We offer a lot of information on the websites on how, on our CDC Health Literacy website, on how communities can get more involved in making sure that people are health literate within their communities by offering different pamphlets, checklists that we named, and also just doing trainings and any other kind of studies on their particular communities. We definitely dive into audience research. You want to know who is in your community, what their needs are, doing needs assessments for your community.
Very important. CDC's website again is?
www.cdc.gov.
And also, Dr. Feinberg, you mentioned the Alzheimer's organization. Do you know their website?
I do not. It's the Alzheimer's Association, and you can just
look that up,
Google
and
it
you
up.
Can do it. What are your questions about health information and processing it and using it for you and your family? We're talking about health literacy. That's what that is, and we want your questions, your experiences now at 404-880-9255 to reach us here at Your Health Connection. D. Did you know that some risk factors for prostate cancer include age, race and ethnicity, family history, diet, and lack of exercise? These risk factors are not only unique to prostate cancer, but are also relevant to other health disparities that impact a person's overall health and wellness. Let's make health and wellness a family affair by developing benchmarks for routine health screenings on birthdays and anniversaries. Men over the age of 40 should get screened for prostate cancer annually, including both the digital rectal exam and PSA blood test. Get screened for prostate cancer today and make health and wellness a family affair. This announcement in the public interest is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. More information is available online at ccrtd.cau.edu.